Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 82 to finish at 24,801. S&P 500 down 1 at 2,726. NASDAQ Composite up 24 at 7,396. Russell 2000 up 12 at 1,574. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 1 basis point at 2.88%. Oil down $1.25 at $61.35 per barrel. Gold down $9.30 at $13.25.90 an ounce. Late yesterday, Gary Cohn resigned as the White House chief economic advisor, and stocks cratered this morning. It was a global downturn, markets across the globe trading lower. The Dow Industrials dropped more than 300 points earlier, but pared those losses. Seems like a bit of an overreaction. Sometimes markets disconnect from fundamentals or just throw a bit of a temper tantrum, but this also goes to bigger problems. There seems to be a shrinking pool of mainstream economists in the administration, and there has been unusually high turnover of all sorts of jobs in the White House, and there is a threat of possible trade wars. Cohn, a former president of Goldman Sachs, was considered a moderating influence on the White House's trade and financial policies, balancing out Trump's more hawkish protectionist advisors. He fought bitterly with Trump about the recently announced tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. Cohn's departure from the White House makes a broad application of those tariffs more likely. Trump is expected to sign the tariffs by tomorrow. With the departure of economic advisor Cohn, Peter Navarro is now one of the strongest voices on trade in the Trump White House. He has long been a fierce advocate for steel and aluminum tariffs. In May 2017, Navarro was named the head of Trump's new Office of Trade Manufacturing Policy, which the White House said then sends an important signal to the world that the United States will no longer tolerate trade cheating while our manufacturing and defense industrial base suffers. Last September, that office was moved into the National Economic Council. Navarro is known for his hardline protectionist stance against China, which includes tariffs on Chinese imports and switching to a value-added tax system, arguments that don't have much support outside the White House. Commodity traders are increasingly concerned that any trade war could suppress growth in the global economy, which has showed signs of picking up. That, in turn, would slow demand for commodities, including metals used in industries ranging from construction to aerospace. The International Monetary Fund says U.S. tariffs could harm economic growth. There's new concern over the Trump administration possibly targeting Chinese imports in retaliation for intellectual property theft. Chinese response so far has been rather muted, but the prospect of a nasty tiff between the world's two largest economies won't help commodities in the short term. All the major metals traded lower today. Tariffs also threaten to derail negotiations over NAFTA. Jared Kushner tries to smooth things out over in Mexico. Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor will meet with Enrique Peña Nieto. A potential meeting between Trump and his counterpart reportedly collapsed after a phone call a few weeks ago where Trump lost his temper over Mexico's refusal to fund his border wall. Today, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders seemed to hint at the possibility Mexico and Canada may get tariff exemptions, which would contradict Peter Navarro's comments over the weekend that there would be no tariff exemptions. 2 weeks before an FOMC policy meeting, the Federal Reserve publishes its Beige Book economic report based on anecdotal information collected by the 12 regional Fed banks. The latest edition shows modest to moderate economic expansion. The survey also contained evidence that a pickup in inflation was more broadly based. According to the Beige Book report, across the country, contacts observed persistent labor market tightness and brisk demand for qualified workers, as well as increased activity at staffing placement services. Most districts saw employers raise wages and expand benefit packages in response to tight labor market conditions. Prices increased in all districts, the survey stated, and most reports noted moderate inflation. The Beige Book pretty much confirms that the Fed will raise interest rates at the March 20th FOMC policy meeting and remains on track for 3 rate hikes this year. The Bank of Japan is set to keep its massive monetary stimulus unchanged for the foreseeable future. In his first round of testimony to lawmakers last week, BOJ Governor Kuroda said that in the fiscal year starting April 2019, the central bank would be thinking about exit from stimulus. That was the first time he had made such a statement. Markets reacted sharply. This week, he clarified that stance, emphasizing that while the BOJ would probably be thinking about it at that point, that didn't mean it would necessarily be moving to normalize policy next year. Kuroda emphasized that weakening of stimulus is unthinkable before reaching the 2% inflation target. However, it's unclear whether that statement is actually as emphatic as it sounds. While repeating the promise to keep increasing the size of the monetary base until 2% inflation was achieved and stable, he also indicated that a change to interest rate policy could come before that point. And the European Central Bank Governing Council meets tomorrow. Consumer borrowing slowed in January. Federal Reserve reports total consumer credit increased $13.9 billion in January to a record seasonally adjusted $3.85 trillion, posting an annual growth rate of 4.3%. Revolving credit, like credit cards, slowed dramatically in January, up only 0.8% after a 7.2% gain in December. It's the smallest gain since February 2015. Despite the slowdown, revolving credit remains above the $1 trillion level, consumers probably taking a break after the holidays. Non-revolving credit, typically auto and student loans, up 5.6% in January for the second straight month. The U.S. trade deficit climbed 5% in January, hit a nearly 10-year high. The trade deficit rose to $56.6 billion in January from $53.9 billion in December. The deficit in January, 16% higher compared with the same month in 2017. Automatic Data Processing, or ADP, reports private sector employers added 235,000 jobs in February. Now, economists use ADP's data to get a feeling for the Labor Department's employment report, which will be released Friday and covers government jobs in addition to the private sector. Friday's jobs report, expected to show the economy, added right around 220,000 new jobs in February. U.S. Justice Department sued California over its sanctuary policies. A lawsuit filed last night in federal court said that California's status as a sanctuary state endangers federal agents. The state forbids police from asking questions about someone's immigration status during routine interactions. Securities and Exchange Commission reiterated that many online trading platforms for digital assets should register with the agency as exchanges. The SEC issued a statement today saying if a platform offers trading of digital assets that are securities and operates as an exchange as defined by the federal securities laws, then the platform must register with the SEC as a national securities exchange or be exempt from registration. Many platforms are referring to themselves as exchanges. The SEC says this can give the misimpression to investors that they are regulated or meet the regulatory standards of a national securities exchange. Bitcoin today dropped about 13%, falling below 10,000. Shares of H&R Block rose 11.5%. The company reported a smaller-than-expected loss for the previous quarter. The company said in its release it had a strong tax season. Design software maker Autodesk posted a smaller-than-expected quarterly loss. That sent stock up almost 15%. Abercrombie and Fitch shares rose 12% after the retailer reported fourth-quarter earnings and sales that beat expectations. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 82 at 24,801. S&P 500 Index down 1 at 2,726. NASDAQ Composite up 24 at 7,396. Russell 2000 Small and Mid Caps up 12 to close at 1574. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com for live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, text, audio, and much more, all free at eatthebankers.com. Hi, I'm Sinclair Noe for Investment Property Experts. Now, whether you're looking for income acceleration or portfolio growth, Investment Property Experts is the right choice. IPX is Arizona's only turnkey full-service real estate investment firm. More investors have become millionaires with real estate, and you can too. How can you achieve financial independence? Kick back on the beach. IPX delivers higher earning investment opportunities with 9% returns on single-family properties in the greater Phoenix area and incredible 15% returns on current development projects in the fast-growing vacation destination Rocky Point, Mexico. That's right, 15% annual returns. Get on the road to an earlier retirement through hassle-free turnkey investments earning up to 15%. Dial hashtag 250 on your cell phone, say IPX. Go online, azipx.com. Hashtag 250, keyword IPX, or online, azipx.com. That's azipx.com.